Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Abdul Nasser Jangda, and you're listening to the Qalam Podcast. The following is a recording of a khutbah I gave on the first Friday of this Ramadan, in which I spoke about the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah during the month of Ramadan, and how we can channel some of that mercy and forgiveness within our personal lives as well. Now, before we get started with the khutbah, I had a quick message I wanted to share with you today. Alhamdulillah, Qalam has maintained its commitment to delivering free Islamic knowledge and content to as many people around the world as we can through this podcast and many other means. Alhamdulillah, and inshallah, that is a commitment that we plan to continue, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. At the same time, we have a huge project that we are working on here at Qalam, and that is the Qalam Seminary. Alhamdulillah, the Qalam Seminary started 5 years ago, and we've graduated over 100 students from our one-year program in Islamic studies, and we currently have 40 students in our Alimiya scholarship program who inshallah will be graduating as imams and scholars and teachers, writers and lecturers and community leaders for the sake of and the benefit of our community inshallah. Now, we want to take the best and the brightest men and women from around the country and give them this education so they can come and benefit your communities. You have someone to learn from, someone to talk to, someone to answer your questions. But we don't want to turn any students away due to a lack of finances. And so for that reason, alhamdulillah, every year we award a dozen or more scholarships to very deserving and amazing students. So inshallah, we're asking for your help and your support in continuing this really awesome work that we're doing. And if you've benefited from Qalam at, you know, in any way up to this point, we're asking you to help us out as well by going to supportqalam.com. The website is supportqalam.com. If you go there, inshallah, we have our Ramadan campaign up to raise money for these scholarships. So go there and please donate generously. Everything you donate will be a sadaqah jariyah, a perpetual charity that will continue to benefit you and your family going into the life of the hereafter. You can do it on behalf of a loved one, a family member, a deceased family member, and you can even contribute your zakat funds there because they are used to benefit and to provide for students who actually qualify for zakat. So inshallah, go to supportqalam.com and donate there generously. The second thing is, I want to ask you to share that link with family and friends. Text it, WhatsApp it, email it, message it, share it on social media. Let's get the word out to as many people as possible so everyone can be a part of, inshallah, doing some good for the benefit and for the sake of our community. And lastly and finally, inshallah, keep us all in your prayers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts. I will not take up any more of your time here today. Jazakumullahu khairan. Now on to the khutbah. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahi Ali Gidati Adim Sifati Samigi Simatika Bidi Shan Jalil al Qadir Rafi Idhikri Mutail Amri Jalil Burhan Fahim al Ismi Ghazil Ilmi Wasil Hilmi Kathil Ghufran Jamil Thana Ijazil Ata Imijibi Dua Yamim al Ihsan Saril Hisabi Shadid al Iqabi Alim al Adabi Aziz Sultan ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعوت بشرح صدر ورفع الذكر وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العرباء وخير الخلائق بعد الأنبياء أما بعد فيا أيها الناس واحدوا الله فإن توحيد رأس الطاعات واتقوا الله فإن تقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم والبدعة فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين وادعوه فإنه مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first received revelation and his mission of Islam. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. That revelation came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the month of Ramadan. This month of Ramadan, it is a month of fasting, but it is also a month of commemorating the guidance of all of mankind and humanity with the revelation of the Quran. After that first revelation came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the second, the third, the fourth revelation continued to come. One of the things that we do not realize about revelation, about the Quran itself, the Quran is a word of God. Revelation is something that is very heavy. It's very heavy. It's not easy to carry. إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. Allah told the Prophet ﷺ, this will be very heavy on you. And one of the greatest favors of the Prophet ﷺ upon this ummah was that he filtered through all the weight and the burden that revelation has. He filtered it through him. And so we are so easily able to read it and recite it, memorize it and know it, without feeling that same pressure. When revelation would come on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would break out into a sweat. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, I remember the beads of sweat on his forehead, even on the coldest night. He would be tired and fatigued afterwards. He would have to lie down and rest afterwards. One time he was riding an animal and the weight of the revelation was so much the animal sat down. One time he was leaning on the leg of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. They were sitting together and he was leaning on her leg and revelation started to come. And she said that it was so heavy, I thought that he would crush my leg. But the Prophet ﷺ filtered all of that. He took the brunt of it. So now we get to enjoy the Quran. But anyways, getting back to the point, because this revelation was so heavy and so hard to carry, after this few first revelations, the third and the fourth revelation, the body of the Prophet ﷺ started to physically break down. Obviously, try to imagine that. Run 5 miles today, and then another 5 miles tomorrow, and then 5 miles the third day, and then see if you're not in the hospital. So with the Prophet ﷺ, physically, it started to wear on him. He started to break down physically. He was feeling physically weak. And he was feeling the wear and tear on his body from this revelation. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of mercy upon the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pulled the revelation back just a little bit. And for a few days, after days of subsequent wahi, revelation, Qur'an coming down, for a few days no Qur'an came. And some of the narrations mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ started feeling very anxious. He looked very worried and frustrated and nervous because he wanted revelation. He missed conversing with Allah. And Jameel, which was her name, she was the wife of Abu Lahab. She used to oppose the Prophet ﷺ along with her husband. She came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said, "Ara anna shaytanaka qad tarakak." I see that your shaytan, your demon that visits you, that possesses you, he has abandoned you. Some other people also said to the Prophet ﷺ, "Inna rabbaka qad qala anka." Your Lord has turned away from you. Your Lord has forsaken you. And the Prophet ﷺ was really feeling, longing for revelation, for the Quran, for the Word of God. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving the Prophet ﷺ time to recover, time that he needed to physically replenish himself. But he missed a revelation during that time. And when revelation came again after a few days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wadduha." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by the light of day. The time of duha is like 10, 11 a.m. The time when the sun has fully risen and its rays are fully shining. And there's no darkness left anywhere. The sunlight gets everywhere. It is fully daytime. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wadduha," there is light once again. The divine light shines down on you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "Wal-layli idha saja," he swore by the night when the night becomes still. That even when it feels like you can't hear anyone, you can't see anything, always remember that Allah is always with you. Never despair. Never lose hope. You are never alone. Allah is always with you. No matter how dark it gets around you, no matter how overwhelming the circumstances might become, wadduha, God shines His divine light upon you. The reason why I wanted to talk about this today, it's the beginning of the month of Ramadan. We're just a couple of days into it. It's the first Friday of the month of Ramadan. I wanted to talk about it here today because we've heard all the slogans and the cliches. Ramadan, the month of fasting, the month of the Quran, and those are all true. That's all correct. But I want us to understand what that means. Maybe some of us over the last few weeks, maybe the last few months, maybe longer, we might have felt disconnected. We might have felt like we lost our way. We didn't know where we were going. We weren't sure if we were really connected to anything. We didn't know what we were doing with ourselves. There's a loss of purpose, a loss of vision, a loss of intention. But the month of Ramadan comes once again, the month of the Quran. And we wake up early in the hours of the night, late hours of the night, early hours of the morning. And we pray and we worship and we fast. And we read the Quran and we listen to the Quran and we engage with the book of Allah once again. And it's a reminder from Allah. This Ramadan is a blessing and a reminder from Allah that Allah has not forsaken us. His light shines on us once again. We are here in the month of Ramadan. His mercy and His forgiveness never went anywhere. We just stopped looking for it. We stopped paying attention. We stopped talking to Him. But His forgiveness and His mercy has always been there, as it is here today and now. So this Ramadan, especially here in the beginning, let us all remind ourselves, wake ourselves up to realize that we can no longer take our relationship with Allah for granted. We will embrace this gift from Allah. We will make the most of this opportunity. I don't care what's happened in the last few weeks or the last few months or where I've been for the last year. What happened, happened. I ask Allah to forgive me. I ask Allah to have mercy on me. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to embrace me, to shower me with His mercy and His forgiveness and His divine light. And this can be our chance to turn things back around. Because once again, this is a reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was always there, looking out for us, watching over us. This Ramadan just came to remind us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always been there for us and will always be there for us. So make this month of seeking forgiveness, making amends with Allah. Make good with God. Don't hold out any longer. And don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for the last 10 days. Don't wait for any particular moment. Make it right now. Before you leave the masjid here, after Jumu'ah, you have had a sincere, open-hearted conversation with Allah. You have poured your heart out to Allah. And you have said, "Oh Allah, I lost my way. But I'm going to take this opportunity and this blessing now and make the most of it." بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Over 1400 years ago, I spoke about one of the earlier Ramadans of the life of the Prophet ﷺ when the Quran first came down, and how we reflect on that here tonight and today. I also wanted to talk a little bit about another Ramadan towards the end of the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Allow me to summarize for you. There was an individual who opposed the message of the Prophet ﷺ. He fought him, opposed him, went against him, brought people together to oppose him, invested all of his resources in pushing back against the Prophet ﷺ and his message and his mission. His name was Abu Sufyan. He led armies against the Muslims. I'll give you just one example of what the dynamic between him and the Prophet ﷺ was. In the Battle of Uhud, Uhud is remembered as one of the most difficult days of the life of the Prophet ﷺ. He himself was very severely injured on that day. 70 of his closest companions and followers and students, friends and brothers were killed on that day. And his own beloved uncle. And this isn't just an uncle, like a distant uncle, someone you see a few times a year. No, Hamza was only 2 years older than the Prophet ﷺ. And they grew up together. And because the father of the Prophet ﷺ passed away before he was born, Hamza was not just some ordinary uncle. Hamza was like the Prophet ﷺ's big brother growing up. He was the one, Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was the one who would have his arm around the shoulder of the Prophet ﷺ. He would check on the Prophet ﷺ. He would make sure that he had something to eat. If somebody said something, even while growing up, to the Prophet ﷺ, Hamza would go and show up and push that person back. Don't talk to my little brother like that. They were actually nursed by the same woman, so they were also brothers, foster brothers. So Hamza and the Prophet ﷺ weren't just uncle and nephew. They were more like big brother and little brother, and they were very close. And they had a lot of love for one another. They cared deeply about each other. Hamza was killed on the day of Uhud, shaheed, martyred, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And his body was then mutilated by the enemy. They ripped off the clothes from his body. They cut off his nose and his ears, cut out his tongue, gouged out his eyes. They ripped his body cavity open, reached inside and pulled out his internal organs and just left him there like. When the Prophet ﷺ saw it, it caused him so much pain. The Sahaba say when he looked at the body, this grinding, groaning sound came out of his chest. Like it seemed like when he saw the body, it physically he recoiled, like his chest got knocked in. He physically felt pain. Can you imagine that? And he cried. He cried so much. It was so painful for him to not only lose him, but then why would they do this to him? In the aftermath of the Battle of Uhud, Abu Sufyan, who led the army against the Muslims that day, he climbed on top of a hill while the Prophet ﷺ had his own blood all over his, smeared all over his face because he had been so severely injured. Bodies of Sahaba lying around. The mutilated body of his uncle. They're so, you know, they're dealing with so much right now. And at that moment, Abu Sufyan climbs on top of a hill. And he screams, تَجِدُونَ فِي قَتْلَاكُمْ مُثْلَةً لَنْ أَمُرْ بِهِ وَلَمْ أَنْهَاهُ. He says, you will find that some of your dead have been mutilated. The bodies have been violated of your dead. He said, I did not tell my people to do that. But when I saw them doing it, I did not stop them either. Can you imagine hearing that? About someone you love so much, and that person is saying, I didn't tell them to start, but I didn't tell them not to do it either. I didn't tell them to stop. It is what it is. You fought us, that's what you get. That's essentially what he was saying. Now imagine, 5 years later, that same person is sitting in your tent on his knees in front of you before you march an army of 12,000, 10,000, before you march an army of 10,000 into their city of Mecca to take over the city, outside the city, that same man who said that day, when you lost your uncle and his body was mutilated, that same man is sitting on his knees in front of you in your tent, holding his hands and begging for mercy. Sweet, sweet mercy. Please forgive me. Have mercy, Ya Muhammad, have mercy. You're a good man. You're the son of a good man. You come from good people. We respect you. Have mercy, forgive us for what we've done. Imagine what that moment is like. What you can do, what you want to do, what you could do, but what you should do. And that was the month of Ramadan. That was in the month of Ramadan, where the Prophet ﷺ channeled divine mercy and forgiveness and generosity and kindness. In that blessed month of Ramadan. And he forgave him. He forgave him. You are forgiven, Abu Sufyan. You and your family are safe. Everyone in Mecca will not be harmed if they stay in their homes. If they don't come out and try to attack us, we will not go and harm people. لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. I have no score to settle with you people. I have no axe to grind. I have no grudges. I have no beef with you today. لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Allah will forgive you. God will forgive you. Seek forgiveness from Allah. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. He is the most merciful of all of those capable of showing any mercy. The last point that I wanted to make here at the end of the khutbah. We talked about in the first part of the khutbah, Allah's mercy and forgiveness that is available to us in this Ramadan. We can turn the page. We can turn a new leaf. We can start over in this month of Ramadan with Allah. We can sit in front of Allah today after Jumu'ah and put our hands out in front of Allah and say, oh Allah, I messed up. I'm sorry. I'm going to change my life. This Ramadan, I'm going to change my life. That's what's available to us. But on the other hand, with every great blessing and gift comes some responsibility. There is a responsibility that comes with that blessing and gift, where Allah is willing to forgive us instantly. It comes with some responsibility. And what is that responsibility? That responsibility is, we also have to learn to practice forgiveness and mercy in our own personal lives. We have to do that. مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. Someone who does not have the ability to show others mercy does not qualify for God's mercy. إِرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمُكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Demonstrate mercy to those on the earth, and the one above the heavens will demonstrate his mercy to you. We have to practice some level of mercy and forgiveness in our own personal lives this Ramadan. Think of someone. Find someone, whether it be a family member, a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, a person in the community, whoever it may be. Find someone, think of someone that you are not on good terms with, that the relationship is tense, the relationship is strained. and make amends, make things better. Swallow your pride, demonstrate some forgiveness and mercy. You want the mercy of Allah, then show some mercy. And reach out to someone and say salam to them and Ramadan Mubarak to them and make dua for them. And in fact, go a step further, tell them to come to your home and break bread with you and have iftar with you together. Particularly the people that might have wronged you. Practice that mercy and that forgiveness. And we pray and we hope that one day we will qualify for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness, particularly on the Day of Judgment. يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّ, where there will be no salvation except for God's salvation. اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجلنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وصلى الله تعالى على النبي الكريم. Before I conclude, just a very quick note. Of course, we make dua for people who are suffering everywhere all across the world. But just because it's in the consciousness right now, we see the pictures, we see the footage from there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help and grant dignity and freedom and honor to our brothers and sisters in Palestine, specifically in Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate their suffering. قال الله تعالى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة.